Yeah, it's too close to call the 6 toss-up House races here in California. These key contests will help determine who will win the majority in the House. The parties need at least 218 seats to win the House. Republicans are confident they will keep control of it. They have 212 seats, and the Democrats have 200. Both parties are optimistic. Republicans vow to address the rampant homelessness and the crime in this liberal state, in addition to other critical issues, and manage to flip 10 California counties red this election season, including Orange County. Political analysts say that area leans purple now. Historically, Orange County has been a Republican stronghold in this deep blue state, and it was evident big time this week with all of the Trump flags we saw there. They were everywhere. An Orange County flower shop owner there even told us he would give away all of the flowers in his Newport Beach store if he won, or if Trump won, rather, and that is exactly what he did.
We're a conservative community, a lot of Republicans and a lot of Trumpers, and we welcome Democrats and everything because we're from New York and we believe in free speech and freedom, and we welcome all types in here.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. And so today, Bruce and I want to just bring you kind of an election update. We are still waiting for those House races, which is incredible. I mean, Mike Johnson has said this past week, I'm sure I brought that information to you, like the day or two after the election, he was saying the Republicans were going to maintain the House. And then we'd gone into this long period of counting in California and Arizona. They're still counting. We're going to talk about that in just a second. You know, how could this be? I guess that's what we're asking. How in the world can this be? We just smell a rat. Harmeet Dhillon is out there, and so are Republican attorneys. So is Judicial Watch. Trying to make sure that Arizona is held to account for what they're doing, whatever it is they are doing. So the House is, even if the Republicans win, and I think from all accounts they're going to, but just by the skin of their teeth, which is not what they had hoped for. And so that makes a big difference. It will have an effect on all of us, and we're going to talk about that and a lot of other just miscellaneous things that I think you'll find interesting. And this is Sandy Rios, by the way, on Sandy Rios 24/7. And you can call us at 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media. We're on Telegram, and YouTube has videos. I don't post the show on it because I'm not on video. And if you want to know why, it's because I'm too lazy to get dressed and makeup on every time I do a podcast. That's the truth. It's just too hard to do. And I, you know, when you do radio or podcasting, I've been doing it for many years. I pull my hair out. I use a pencil. I do whatever I need to do to get the job done. And I don't necessarily think you want to watch that. So anyway, but if you go to YouTube, you'll find television interviews I've done, and hopefully you'll enjoy that. It's a kind of an addendum. Truth Social, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're all on all of those. And if President Trump has his way, God willing, they'll all be free speech platforms pretty soon. We hope for that. And that's what he's working toward. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform that you like, your favorite ones, Amazon or Apple or Spotify. Or, you know, you can go to Homebase, which is AFR.net, which is what many of you do who used to listen to the morning show. Or you can also go to sandyrios.com, the website, and it's real simple to listen to it that way. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives. You should hear the meltdowns they're having. I'm going to play some of those today in the show. Which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers to decide between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them free ultrasound to introduce their precious babies and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies, by the way, are worth fighting for. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. All right, we'll sit back and relax on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch continues to monitor the controversial election in Arizona. The count is still ongoing. It's inexcusably slow, and it's undermining confidence in the whole process. And let's go to the billboard here with the latest results from Arizona, just to show you how awful it is. It's now, was it 4 days, 3 days after the election? It's Friday after the election. And yesterday, they had about 950,000 votes still to count. It's a full 24 hours later, and they've only gone through 200,000 more votes. Inexcusable. Maricopa County, the big county in Arizona, where Phoenix is, they've gone through 1.6 million names or so. They still have 274,000 ballots to process. They have allegedly 155,000 ballots that are ready to process, but somehow they haven't managed to vote yet. I don't understand what the excuse is. 450,000 outstanding ballots. Outrageous. The other big county, Tucson, Pima County, 106,000 uncounted ballots. Total statewide, 718,000 ballots still outstanding. So as a result, technically, the presidential race is still uncertain there, even though many have called it for President Trump, so he is likely to win. But we don't know who the senator is going to be. There's a big Senate race there, and it's not fair to either senator to have, or either candidate, to have this terribly slow process. As I've been saying, counting ballots after Election Day invites fraud, undermines voter confidence, and I would argue is contrary to federal law that sets an election day, not an election week. Arizona is making a mockery of our election system right now.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's a familiar voice of Tom Fitton, the head of Judicial Watch, and thank God for Judicial Watch. You know, they've done yeoman's work in this election. They sued California and other states, several other states, to remove people that were dead from the voting rolls, to update their voter rolls. It was so controversial, they had to fight tooth and nail. And they, in fact, I believe it was in Michigan or Arizona where they refused to do it. And they had to be dragged kicking and screaming, their secretaries of state. Oh, those two states have terrible secretaries of state, I should say, as an aside. Here's the headline from CNN, which I think is amazing. Trump takes Arizona, completes sweep of all swing states. CNN says victory was so massive, he broke history. CNN said that. He broke history. He has won Arizona, but now it's a mystery. His electoral college count has moved from 312 to Kamala Harris, 226. But what in the world is taking so long? Bruce and I probably can't answer that today, but we can tell you just some details about it. On November the 7th, the Arizona Secretary of State's office added tens of thousands of votes to the tally, but said there were hundreds of thousands of ballots left to count, including nearly 500,000 in Maricopa County. Therefore, the presidential race and the U.S. Senate contest between Republican Ruben Gallego and Kerry Lake remains too close to call, and that's still the case, and this a few days since this was written. So I want to read you just another account of this. Trump wins Arizona, completing a sweep of seven battleground states. And, of course, that's great news. That's great news for all of us. But what in the world about the Senate races? What about the House races in these states where the counting continues on and on and on and on? By the way, let me mention in Arizona, in 2020, Biden, the storyline, this is the official party line. Joe Biden had an upset win in 2020 with a 0.3 point squeaker. That was the first time since Bill Clinton's 1996 win that a Democratic presidential candidate had won the Grand Canyon State. Well, you all realize, don't you, that the total vote count for Democrats and Republicans in the last several years, Republicans by and large, has been consistent, except for 2020. In 2020, Joe Biden got 81 million votes, I think. He said he bragged that he got more than Barack Obama. And I always say, you know, if he got more votes than Barack Obama, then, you know, I'm going to run for Senate. But that's not possible. And now the left is actually figuring this out. Where are those 20 million votes? In other elections besides 2020, it's consistently pretty much, I think, 61 million votes. And now we've got 20 million votes that just either evaporated or where did they come from in 2020? There's a lot of shady stuff going on, and I think it continued in 2024. I want to give you an example. There's a girl who worked for the Harris campaign, and she was actually on Fox to kind of describe from her perspective what she had experienced. This is Lindy Lind. Let's listen.
Help me understand your perspective on that, because you worked for Kamala Harris.
I didn't. I'm a donor.
You're a donor.
Technically, I mean, you know, I'm not on anyone's payroll. I'm not beholden to anyone. That's why I'm here telling the truth. I'm not here to gaslight anybody. This is just the truth.
What is the truth?
The truth is this is just an epic disaster. This is a $1 billion disaster. Actually, it was $1 billion, 18 million, I think, right? There were $20 million or $18
missing.
Million dollars in debt.
Right.
It's incredible. And I raised millions of that. I have friends that I have to be accountable to and to explain what happened, because I told them it was a margin of error race. I was promised, Jen O'Malley Dillon promised all of us that Harris would win. She even put videos out saying that Harris would win. I believed her. My donors believed her. And so they wrote massive checks. I feel like a lot of us were misled. And even on the night of election night, Will, I looked somebody in the eye and I said, are we going to do this? Are we going to pull it off? She told me yes. And I asked somebody else, like, how are you feeling? He's like, we're going to win Iowa. And I was like, what?
Did they believe this going in? Was there a real sense of false confidence on the side of Kamala Harris? Or did they know they were in store for disaster?
You know, I was wondering about that. I was like, I asked them, are you privy to internal numbers that I am not seeing? Because I study this so carefully, and I just wasn't seeing any basis for that level of confidence. And I also want to remind our viewers that, you know, the Trump campaign was touting all these incredible empirical data weeks before election night. What Harris is touting was the door knocking. She didn't say anything really about early voting. Now I know it's because there was nothing much to say.
You know, that's really tragic. I mean, I the point of that is there's a lot of points to that. First of all, the lesser point that I'll make first is that Kamala raised $1 billion. I want to be real clear about that. We know now that they used Act Blue, and Act Blue is the fundraising mechanism for Democrats. They established it probably back during the Obama years, but the House is actually investigating now why just regular people and dead people were attributed as having given like hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Kamala campaign. Some people, they followed up on it, and some people said, I don't give money. I don't have that kind of money. They're just regular folks. So we believe very strongly, experts believe that there was money laundering going on, that there was a lot of foreign money coming in. So when they brag about how Kamala Harris raised $1 billion, I'm not too impressed, and I don't think you should be either. But speaking now back to Lindy Lind's point about the numbers and the polls, they lied to their own people about where the polls were. Both campaigns had internal polls. Trump's internal polls showed that he was going to win the way he won, and so did Kamala's. They have access to the same information. So they lied, and someone like Lindy Lind, you know, raised all this money from people that she knew by honestly believing that Kamala had a chance to win. It's really despicable, but that's the game they play, and that's, I feel, the game they played back in Arizona in 2020 when Biden so-called won this historical win, and we don't believe that. I don't believe it. So let's go back to Arizona. Bruce, give us some numbers, because I don't really know. By the way, hi, sweetheart.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me. He's sitting here next to me. I forgot you didn't know that. But we have some numbers now. I always wonder about what's going on with Carrie Lake's race, and it changes day by day since they're going so slowly.
Yeah. Well, as of Saturday night, the 9th, the total counted in Arizona is 92%. There's still, as your guest was saying in the clip, 718,000 uncounted votes in Arizona.
How can that be?
And as of when 92% was counted in the Senate race in Arizona, Ruben Gallego, the Democrat, had 50% of the vote, which is 1,556,000 votes. Kari Lake, the Republican candidate, had 47.8% of the vote, which is 1,490,000. So there's a difference between them of about 66,000. But as Tom was saying, Tom Fitton, there's over 700,000 votes out there to be counted.
It makes no sense.
And if you compare that to how President Trump did in Arizona, President Trump won 52.4% of the vote. And, you know, usually Senate candidates track with their presidential candidate. And so if you look at the numbers, Kerry is like 5% less than what Trump drew. So, you know,
They hate her. Remember, she ran for governor and they made sure she didn't win. That was 2022 when they messed up with the printers. They made people wait in line for hours and go to other polling places, which they could never do. It was a disaster.
You know, Arizona is despicable in my mind because the Secretary of State's office there was saying before the election even happened, you know, it's going to take us at least a week to count these votes. Now, how in the world in a state the size of Arizona, it's a big land state, but not population. And they know that Maricopa County around Phoenix is where probably at least half of, or probably a lot more than half, actually, of the state votes. How can you not be prepared to count votes that are being put in electronically?
Yeah. Unless you're messing around with it.
Unless you're messing around with
it. First, to your point, this is the numbers I'm hearing. 74,000 people in Arizona voted for their Republican House candidate, but did not vote for the Republican Senate candidate. And that's kind of weird, really. That's kind of weird. You know, most people I find, I don't know, would you agree with this? We have a lot of people voting for the first time, and you know, it's very intricate. We voted here in Florida, and it's confusing. We had a lot of amendments to the Constitution, judges, all this stuff. And when it's complex enough for us. We have to spend some time before we can go into that booth. I remember seeing one lady at the polls when we were working there, who's told me when I went to her car and handed her some information, she said it was the first time in her life she'd ever voted, and she was not young. And so I think most people vote straight ticket, don't you think?
Well, and the natural progression, even if you're not going to vote straight ticket, is you vote for the higher offices more than you vote for the lower offices. A lot of people will go in and cast a vote for the president and their senator and maybe their representative, because even representative starts sometimes to get down in the weeds. But senator and president are very easy to vote for. And so it really doesn't follow that more people voted in Arizona, allegedly, for the representative to the House of Representatives than to the person running for the Senate.
No. And you can't tell me that they're not messing with this counting on the House of Representatives. You know, I just say, what's happening in California, Bruce? You were just looking over there.
Oh, California is...
You love California. We should say you lived there a long time and you love it. Yeah,
I do, but they make you crazy because in these smaller areas of the state, the counting is taking forever. And, you know, the coincidence that we always talk about is that the states that do not have voter ID required are always the states that are the last to come in with their counts.
And they're the ones that were for Kamala.
Yeah.
All those areas.
Yeah. And so as of Saturday, there were still 20 seats of up for grabs in the race for the House. And the way it stood as of Saturday night is 213 seats had been called for the Republicans, 202 had been called for the Democrats, and a party needs 218 to have a majority in the House of Representatives. The way things are trending is in the Republicans' favor. If things would trend the way they were as of Saturday, the Republicans would end up with 224, the Democrats with 211, and again, 218 is the majority. But this is where the shell game comes into effect.
Oh,
is,
I can't wait to
hear. You know, we know that from 2020 that you hold back votes until you being the Democrats, determine how many votes you are behind, and then suddenly, magically, that many votes appear for the Democrat. And, you know, let me get on my hobby horse here. This will show you one of the implications of illegal immigration, because the House districts are based on the population of the country, and the population is taken from the census. And when the census is taken, you do not have to be a legal citizen to be counted in the census.
Yeah.
And then the number that the census comes up with, that's how the representatives are divided. So you get these areas where there's huge numbers of illegal immigrants, they get better, they get larger representation, and that's who the Democrats have counted on to vote illegally for the Democrat.
Yes, so we're waiting on California, we're waiting on Arizona. It's just ridiculous, it really is. And, you know, along with what you just said, though, the irony is, you know, the Democrats have depended so much on minority votes. And as we have both rude, they love to talk about color and race and gender. They're absolutely crazy about it. So, but the irony here is, as you know, I'm going to read this, actually. This is from, not sure where it's from because I can't. It's CDN print friendly, but that's not where it's from. Trump gained a larger share of Black and Latino votes than he did in 2020, and most notably among men under age 45. Isn't that something? About 3 in 10 Black men under the age of 45 went for Trump, roughly double the share he got in 2020. Young Latinos, particularly young Latino men, also were more open to Trump than 2020. Roughly half of young Latino men voted for Harris, compared with about 6 in 10 who went for Biden. It's just amazing. One more thing. While about 4 in 10 young voters under 45 across racial and ethnic groups identified the economy. Wait a second. Did it really say across racial and ethnic groups? Did they really just say young voters? I can't believe that. Okay. About 4 in 10 young voters across racial and ethnic groups identified the economy as the top issue, while older white and Latino voters were likely to cite immigration. And with one quarter of each saying that was the economy was the top issue.
Well, you know, you look at California, going back there real quickly. President Trump had a 5-point swing from when he was elected in 2016. He got 5% more of
something?
The California vote. And what you have to take into account is in the last 8 years between these two elections, tons of conservative people have moved out of California.
Oh, that's true, Bruce.
They've moved from
to
Texas, Arizona, Nevada, Florida. They've moved to a lot of red states, and Colorado, which is not a red state, but they have flocked there. So you could magnify that by even more than a 5% swing.
I want to change the subject because we actually have some good news. So we've kind of given you the recap that we can at this point on the House and the Senate. So here's some good news, and by the time you hear this podcast, you probably will have heard that. But Stephen Miller has just been appointed Deputy Chief of Staff for the White House. And Stephen is just, you either love him or hate him. I actually love him. He's been around for a long time, and he's just unbending. He's great on immigration. I'm actually amazed he didn't get that slot. But Tom Holman is going to be the one running the deportations for illegal immigrants. So not too bad. And a lot of people are asking President Trump to consider Dan Bishop. Now, Dan is a congressman from North Carolina. I actually haven't interviewed Dan in a while, but I have in the past interviewed him lots, and he's just great. He actually left Congress and the Freedom Caucus because he was so sick of how things are running, and he ran for Attorney General in North Carolina, and we know what North Carolina got messed with, too. So he didn't win. So people are saying, encouraging him, President Trump, to ask Dan Bishop to be the Attorney General. That would be an interesting pick. And another thing, Bruce, that's happening, this is Ohio. We have great friends in Ohio. So, you know, there's a vacancy in the Senate there because of J.D. Vance being the vice president-elect of the United States. So the Ohio governor, Mike DeWine, has to decide now who he's going to put in that, who he's going to appoint to be the senator. And I don't know, Bruce, what do you think about Mike DeWine? Do you have an opinion? I have an opinion.
Well, I don't think he's very trustworthy, so I don't look for it to be anybody strong.
No, he's terrible. Actually, so Ohioans, I'm sorry, and even friends, I'm sorry I said that about your governor. But the thing that really tipped me off to who he really was when he appointed an Obama person to head the COVID protocols in Ohio. And Ohio, the Ohioans really suffered from that. Why would he do that? Yeah, he's weak. He's very weak. He doesn't fight. He's a rhino. Yes, he is. So there's no way in God's green earth he's going to appoint Vivek Ramaswamy, who others are saying maybe he should be appointed. It won't be. I'm telling you right now, unless it's a closet person DeWine doesn't know he's really conservative, he's not going to get appointed. That's my prediction. So that's not good news. I said I had good news.
No. Well, you know, how about this story?
Okay. Some good news.
I thought it was really, really sweet when you watched the Trump family come out for the victory speech about 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time, Election Day, and you couldn't help but notice Barron Trump,
the giant Barron,
just towering above his 6'2" or 6'3" father, and. You know, Barron kind of gets lost in the shuffle. You know, you hear about Don Jr. and Eric and the things they do to the campaign, with the campaign. But Barron actually may have been very instrumental in helping his father get elected for a second term, because on the last run in 2016, you know, Trump did a lot of the Democratic outlets for media. And while he did a great job, it really didn't get him many votes. The Democrats are the Democrats, and they were not going to vote for President Trump. And so this time around, the strategy was like, you know, why are we beating our head against the wall with these Democratic outlets? Where can we go to get our message heard? And so, of course, social media, you know, people like Joe Rogan, people of that that have large podcast reach, they were...
He's got the largest one in the world, yeah, by the way.
They were suggested. When Trump was approached with, hey, we need to start going on these podcasts, he was not certain if that should happen. And so what he told his staff is, I want you to run by Barron the outlets that you are thinking of having me go on, because he's very savvy. And that's what they did. And Barron, all 18 years of experience of his, but he's very savvy as to who is listened to by young people.
You know what? It's so impressive to me that President Trump's whole family is vested in this, that they believe in their dad and they want to help him. I just think that speaks so highly of his parenting. It really does. Well, I have one last good thing, unless you have something. Okay, I have. This is a really good good outcome, and it's kind of a. Okay, this is a stretch. You guys remember this girl who was a hairdresser in Texas, and this was during COVID, and they made her shut her store down, and she'll tell her story in just a second. I want you to hear her talk. But in fact, I'll not tell any more of her story. I'll just tell you she was interviewed on Fox. Now, what I did was we strung together. I had Adam string together her responses. So it's going to be a little bit abrupt. But if you listen carefully and you know that she's a hairdresser, that she had to close down her shop, and she'll tell the rest of the story, and that she then, this cycle, ran for legislator in the Texas Assembly and won. That's a good story, and here she is to tell it. Her name is Shelley Luther. Let's listen.
I owned a salon. I actually still own the salon, but we shut down for about a month during COVID, and then after about a month, my hairstylists were calling me saying, I can't feed my kids, I don't know what to do, so we just made the decision to open back up, and I ended up in jail. Well, I mean, it just put me in check, honestly. I wasn't super political before any of this, But I'm like, you know, somebody has to do something about this. And so we ran for our first office shortly after that. What's actually pretty ironic is even in my mugshot, my roots are like 2 inches long because
darn it.
I was not getting my hair done. And so it's funny when all of these other people had their fresh highlights or even some of the men, their, you know, fresh colors on their hair. When us normal people didn't, you weren't able to do anything.
Yeah.
But it was more about essential versus non-essential, picking winners and losers. And,
yes.
You know, you could, the dog groomer next door to us was wide open, deemed essential. In Texas, we've had a little bit of silliness going on as far as, you know, exactly what the Republican Party wants and what the House actually gets accomplished. And so that was my platform going in. We had an impeachment of our attorney general that was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest story is I had a brain aneurysm a month and a half ago and almost died. And so for me to walk out of that, being in the ICU for almost 30 days, the recovery from that and then putting my name in to run one more time, it was huge, but I knew it was my time.
Oh, that's a basic story. I mean, I remember Shelley, beautiful blonde, real smart girl. Just listen to her. And because of the COVID situation, she ran and she just won. So that's a good news story, not only in the repudiation of those COVID restrictions, but also of just, you know, just it's been a victory. Now she's going to be serving. What a great story. She should write a book, and maybe she perhaps will do that. All right. Well, and also that makes me think Texas, you know, was really red this time, and they've been working to make Texas blue. There's a whole slogan. They've been working for years. I've tried to push back in my own way and different efforts other places to help them down there in Texas. And now Texas is redder than it's been forever. And I think Oklahoma's totally red, right, Bruce?
Oklahoma, the entire state, every single county voted for Donald Trump.
So, Oklahoma, where the wind goes. Anyway, well, that's good news for you Oklahomans. And okay, so we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I just have one other thing I want to tell you about. This is really basically the effect that the Kamala Harris and the Democrats have had on young women. And I want to play you a few clips and just say a word about that, and then we'll say goodbye today. But so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to save babies in a bigger way for preborn. Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000, I know that's a lot, but some of you, it's not a lot to you, will place an ultrasound machine in a needy women's center, saving countless babies for years to come. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, there are a lot of crazy clips I could play. We've certainly heard our show. We've laughed at a lot of them. People screaming because Donald Trump won. You know, just the screamers. One guy ripped his shirt off. He was very heavy, and you could see, you know, sorry, Bruce, you're not supposed to laugh at that. We saw one Democratic voter who was boasting, I was out buying my champagne for the evening celebration, and I came across a guy I knew who he'd voted for, and I told him, no, Kamala's going to win. She's got it. I am a, what did she call herself?
He said she was a political consultant and that he had wasted his vote.
Yes, right. So I'm not even capturing her arrogance. She was so arrogant. And then she said, she just started laughing at him as this is her story. And I laughed at him. And we were going to play that for you, but I didn't grab it. But there's another side to the story, and I want you to hear it. Now, here is, this is the first clip. This is a young girl. Please listen to all that she says, and listen carefully, because I just want you to think of something. Here it is, clip six.
So it's almost 2 a.m. Pacific time, which means it's well after polls have closed, and I am still just genuinely confused as to what happened. So if anyone wants to offer some insight, I'm happy to take it. I just also think that maybe what I've noticed is that men are just genuinely not as concerned as women and don't quite take our concerns as seriously. And I don't know, that sucks because I met a lot of women tonight who are just genuinely so scared.
She said, genuinely so scared. That's what she said. Okay, so then let me go to another girl, not quite so emotional, but as a result of Trump getting elected, this is what she said and what she did. Clip 11.
This morning when I learned that Donald Trump had been elected president for a second time, the first thing I did was have a good long cry. The second thing I did was get on the phone and make a doctor's appointment for a surgical consultation to get my tubes tied. It's something that I've been thinking about doing for a really long time, and I feel like now is the appropriate time to do it before my option to choose that for myself and for my body is stripped away from me.
I just have to jump in before I play the last clip. See, that first girl was young and just so afraid. They have screamed at girls to tell them that Trump is going to take their life away, that abortion is like this sacred right, and they're not going to be, their lives are going to be miserable. They're not going to have any freedom. It's going to, by the way, he's a dictator. They've just pumped them up with this, like they did with the whatever her name was, Lynn, about the numbers. They have whipped them into a frenzy over things that are not true. And I don't have any ridicule for these girls. I don't. They're just young, and they are being harmed by this. The one is hard as a nail. She's going to get her tubes tied. She's never, ever going to have babies because of what they're saying about having babies. And the other one's scared to death. And there's one last one. This is clip seven.
Is anyone else having a meltdown? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to wait. I'm so stressed. How you can't look out into the world, into the people of this country, and see what's happening. And how hard we're all fighting for rights not to be taken away from people. I go from hysterically crying one minute over the pain of this situation, and then hysterically crying the next minute, watching so many people come together and women from around the world supporting us and cheering us on.
I am 48 years old, and I have never experienced anything like this and never thought I would in this country. It's like I can feel the pain and the fear.
The pain and the fear. This is what they've done to women, young women. I know 48's not so young, but she's still prey to this. I think of Michelle Obama screeching on stage about your rights to an abortion, your rights to kill your baby, your rights. Kamala, the same thing. Bruce, I'll be quiet. I just like to know what you think about that.
I think it's really sad, actually. I know some people will find it laughable, and the absurdity of a lot of it is almost laughable, but it's too important to laugh at. I've seen women talk of, you know, they're going to shave their heads as a form of dissent.
Dissent, yeah.
Refusing to have sex with any man as a way of doing that. But let's not miss the point here. This shows the harm of the Democratic just beating that Donald Trump is a monster. The Republicans are monsters. They are going to take away your lives. And I find it amazing that people cannot remember back 4 years ago that Donald Trump had been president for 4 years and he never took away anybody's rights that they're talking about. But somehow, through this onslaught from the Democrats, this kind of belief was embedded in people.
Well, I just, in closing, I'd just like to say that this is where those of us that are followers of Christ, we just have to step up. It's not time to fold our napkins, our tents, whatever we're folding, and say, you know, that the battle is won, at least that battle, and now I'm going to just, this is the time, I'm not talking about political activity right now. I'm talking about ministry. There are so many wounded people. The lady that screamed at me at the election center, she's not a young girl, but she hated me. She just hated me. Didn't even know her because I was voting for President Trump. The mania and the brainwashing is very effective, and people are damaged. And so if anybody can bring healing, it is really only the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to make you aware of that. It's probably happening to some of your kids, your relatives. You wonder why they hate you. Well, you got a glimpse into this for various reasons. Their minds have been poisoned, and it's been very effective. It's the work of the devil, no doubt about that. And so we're going to bring the love of Christ, are we not? The love of Christ, so that we can transform lives in the right way, and the issues would trickle down from that. And that's really what I think our mission is. Lonnie, thank you for joining me. Thank you.
I was glad to.
We are very grateful, by the way. We're very grateful, and we'll be back. I'll just say we're leaving for Washington, D.C. in the morning, so we are recording lots of podcasts today. There's going to be some meetings that important meetings, and we're looking forward to that, just to keep on keeping on here to do our part to try to, you know, have the best outcomes possible as we go along and navigate our way through this very kind of interesting path we're on. But anyway, God bless each and every one of you, and I want to tell you that you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. We love to hear from you. You can find the podcast at sandyrios.com, at afr.net, or any podcast platform that you like. And I want to thank Timothy Plan. That's a place where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/sandy. That's timothyplan.com/sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thanks for listening, honey, and thanks for joining me on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.